Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Down to Agribusiness with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hi, folks. Welcome once again to this week's Agribusiness podcast. Once again, delighted to be joined by Phelim O'Neill and Anne Finnegan. I'm Jack Kennedy, and I'm here to discuss with the guys what's happening this week in agribusiness. Folks, it's fair to say the two of you have really nice pieces done, both on three-letter acronyms. Anne, you're on BAR, the Brexit Adjustment Reserve Fund, and Phelim, you're on OFT, the Office of Fair Trading and Transparency and Fairness, I suppose, or whatever. But if I come to you first, Anne, in terms of the BAR fund, I mean, firstly, for someone that's, I suppose, coming at this, you know, it's a while since Brexit was on the menu. Just talk to us about the BAR fund and what it was set up to do and where it's at the moment.
Yeah. So this is an EU fund, Jack, that was set up post-Brexit. It was agreed and finally announced last year to support, I suppose, countries and enterprises and businesses, and in fairness, both the public and private sectors, it has to be said, to adjust to the impacts of Brexit. And Ireland has taken the largest share of that fund, almost 1 billion. So the funding is now available in Ireland. 500 million has been made available for drawdown this year, and a further 500 million will be made available in 2023. So, like, time is of the essence with this funding. The government's revised estimates in February said that 54 million had already been earmarked for projects and to be dispersed this year. The largest share of that is going to the Department of Agriculture and the Marine. So there's 32 million earmarked for the seafood sector and 1 million for horticulture. And that's for 2022. And you'll see in the papers, and you'll see over the past number of weeks, the Department of Agriculture talking about different seafood, fisheries, coastal projects. You know, they have a 35 million investment and a 25 million investment, and they're multi-annual. So in cash terms, it's 32 million so far this year.
And Anne, you're close to that up in Donegal in terms of some of that seafood piece. Like, I mean, can you just explain to us kind of, I suppose, what the money is being invested in as a result of what, and how it's going to kind of, I suppose, kind of make the industry more sustainable? Just talk to us about that seafood piece as an example.
Yeah, well, the first thing to say about the seafood piece is, I mean, standing back from it, I think that sector has been very organised in how it's approached this problem. The minister set up a seafood task task force. It was chaired by Aidan Cotter, and the funding that is being announced now and being made available is all aligned to, you know, actions that are coming out of the report on the seafood task force. And it is very, the seafood sector and the fishing sector is very significantly impacted, okay, and particularly the mackerel and the prawn sectors. You know, we're looking at 20 million being eliminated from mackerel and prawns in 2021, and by 2026, that increases to 45 million. So what we've seen so far are two announcements. One in infrastructure in coastal communities, I think specifically in piers, and the second one is like an enterprise stimulus almost for businesses. And there's different options there for businesses around coastal communities. So it's about, I suppose this is about diversifying away from the reliance on those sectors.
And I'm doing a piece this week in terms of Lakeland and the introduction of their peak penalty. I mean, effectively, Lakeland are saying that processing capacity is limited. And effectively, then they just want to flatten the curve, I suppose, and allow them to process more milk. So they're allowing their farmers to continue to process more milk, but they're not going to pay as much for it. They're going to effectively introduce two-tier pricing. I mean, could the likes of Lakeland, if there was a plan in place, or any other processor, avail of, I suppose, bar funding, we'll say, if it was a play at trying to diversify the market, at trying to diversify the product mix in their particular business?
Yeah, I imagine that they could. I mean, one of the big impacts, certainly in the agri-food sector, was cheddar cheese and the reliance on the UK market. Like, absolutely. I mean, I think it's available, this funding is available for all sectors to diversify and, I suppose, to improve the resilience and to support that transition away from the UK market. I imagine, you know, any processor looking to do that probably has to meet, you know, whatever the criteria of the scheme are, and it is being reviewed as well. So it is subject to review as well. So it is EU money that we're spending, so it will be fully audited at the end of the day. But I mean, I think that would have to come under some form of an adjustment or a diversification type of plan. I mean, the challenge here, Jack, for the sector is there's a billion on offer over 2 years. We're already a quarter of the way through 2022. And really the sector, I feel, probably needs to just get its head down and look at, well, what are the issues and what are the solutions and what is the plan? Because I think, like, we very much think in terms of agri being the biggest impact here. But there's lots of impacts right across. I mean, if you take the haulage sector, the transport sector, huge level of disruption, huge level of impact there. Anybody who continues to trade with the UK will have another layer of administration and administrative burden that they never had before. And right across the public sector, I mean, if you take the ports alone, revenue, the health system, there's huge interdependencies between north and south in the health system. So I think the public sector alone, there's going to be a big requirement for this funding. So there's lots of competing priorities and they'll all stand on their own merits. The question is, where's the plan from the agriculture sector? And I think in specific, the beef sector.
Beef sector, yeah.
And how does it address the challenges that it will face over the medium term?
Yeah, and you go into your piece in detail on the beef sector, and it's a nice read for someone that's interested in that. And 100%, thanks for that. Phelim, your acronym is I suppose the OFT, the Office for Fairness and Transparency. Is it fair to say, so the government have published legislation on this to establish the office, but you're not so sure, is it all singing and all dancing just yet?
No, Jack, it is something of a delusion if we go cast our minds back to the programme of government. It promised a national food ombudsman. And the thinking of this was, and if we go back to late 2019, early 2020, we were coming out of a summer and an autumn of particularly beef factory protests where prices were particularly poor and farmers took to the streets through different organisations to protest against these. And there was strong feelings at the time in terms of the relation of, you know, where the money was going in the beef sector, who was getting what out of it. And whenever the election came and government was formed, programme government put together, a food ombudsman was promised. Now, what we have finished up with is somewhat short of that. It's a slight dilution of it, maybe more than a slight dilution of it. It's, as you say there, OFT, Office for Fairness and Transparency. And this office will have the brief of trying to build, if you like, the confidence between the processors and suppliers. They're going to do a bit more analysis of published information. And, you know, look, time will tell how well it does its job. And that's the sort of the angle that I've tried to approach it from this week. It'll be very easy to write this off as a complete failure to meet expectations. But I think it's fair to say, let's see what it does over time. Okay. There's no doubt this is a big missed opportunity. Like, what is most needed for farmers is to see just basically where the money goes after cattle and sheep indeed leave the farm gate.
Because, I mean, am I right, Ethelam, in terms of that's what farmers have been looking for, is a kind of a regulator with real teeth or with real power in the game, or to try and regulate that kind of that imbalance of power between the processors and the individual farmers scattered across the country.
Yeah, and in the legislation that's proposed, I don't see any evidence of that, to be honest, Jack. Now, they do have the power to undertake investigations. They can dive in, and where they find what they consider wrongdoing, they have a series of penalty options available to them, from issuing compliance notices through fixed penalties, right up to indeed initiating prosecutions, which can lead to significant fines and indeed jail terms if it came to the bit. Now, that's at the extreme end of the scale. So they do have the authority to dive into the business that goes on behind the farm gate. But the bit that's missing from a farmer's point of view here that I would have felt should have been in the legislation was requiring to adopt something closer to the US model, where wholesale stocks and wholesale prices are published on a daily basis there, in that case, in some cases twice daily. And that would allow farmers to see exactly where the value was in the chain. And we look at it again, we're covering it in this week's paper as well. You know, a couple of the major meat processors again have revealed full results, which show big, big profits made in 2021. Final quarter doubled in the case of Marfrig, US operation, for example. So that's the type of information I think that farmers need to see. And then if we get to a situation where there's a very, very tough beef trade, it's good at the minute, you know, will it always be that way? We hope so, but we've certainly seen dark days in the not too distant past. And it's in those difficult times that farmers need to see where the value is in the chain to allow them form an opinion on whether or not it is believed that factories are treating them very unfairly, that they're creaming off big profits at their expense. If you actually seen at that stage that maybe it was a tough time, tough trading time at the factory side as well, that would help to build a confidence that hasn't been there previously.
I see the South Americans are really, they must be really creaming it there, given the scale and the cost of production in South America. I see the Brazilian beef price, Phelan, it's up over €4 a kilo, is it this week?
It actually, at one point this week, touched 4.20 a kilo. Now, it's beef price in Brazil is quite stable at the moment, actually. It would have eased slightly from the high of a couple of weeks ago. The big change there, Jack, is currency. And we've went into that in a little bit of detail this week in the Farmers Journal. You know, over the past decade, the Brazilian real's value has collapsed against the major international currencies, the dollar, sterling, and indeed the euro. It had got to a point at the start of this year where it was taken over six fifty real to buy a euro, and that is actually only a third of the value that it was a decade earlier. So as the value of the real collapsed over the past decade, it made Brazilian beef more and more competitive. Now this week it recovered a good, sorry, over the past 10 weeks since the start of the year, it's recovered a good bit of value. It has come back to a point where the real is trading at 5.20 against the euro. And that has made Brazilian beef an awful lot more expensive in international markets. As I say, doing the conversion at one point earlier in this week, it touched 4.20 a kilo. It has eased back slightly since then, but it's still at a very, very, it's a record price for Brazilian beef. And that means, of course, in a global beef market then, where you're looking at US beef trading around 4.60 a kilo, you can see in that situation now where there's nothing unique about the price in Europe. We're essentially, just as we are in dairy and pig meat, we're into essentially a global meat market, beef market at this stage.
Excellent, folks. It's been good to chat about the key stories this week. There's lots more in the agribusiness side, on the feed side, on the pig side, and on other sectors right across the agribusiness in the journal this week. Thanks for listening. Chat to you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.